Welcome to Doula Club, a podcast for doulas by a doula. I'm your host, Bonnie Silva. Enjoy the ride.
Okay, we are recording. So can you guys believe it? We just recorded a 40-minute ordeal and my freaking podcast didn't record it. This has got to be like a Twilight Zone slash new podcaster situation.
But anyway, on the bright side, we can... On the bright side, I can go back to Instagram because I was forgetting to do my Instagram pieces. So I feel better now.
Okay. So Tia, thank you so much for coming. This is such a special little thing.
Yes, it is.
I think that, you know, the fact that you are one of my favorite people to like call and be like, oh my God, this is happening.
I'm sorry, Jack. Yes.
Is just so cool.
And absolutely.
So why don't you tell people your little story, like how you, you found out about doulas, how you became a doula. And all of the things.
Sure. One second. So one of the things that I often say to clients is that, put this up here. One of the things I often say to my clients when I meet with them is that I'm a tour guide. To birth, right? And so you think of a place you've never been before, what would be helpful? Someone that knows how to navigate that place, that a person that's been there before knows all the great places to eat, knows how to get around. And that's what I am to birth. And I do this pretty often. I do this at least 3 to 4 times per month. And so that's usually where I come from. And the reason why I am a doula is because... I had an amazing doula who is my mentor, Tanisha Evans-Marin, just for you doula. And she and I have been friends for a very long time. And yeah, she just is amazing. And so when she was my doula, I was like, this is nice. I want to do this for other women. And that's where I am now. I used to be a case manager with the city of New York for many years, about before doula life. And I loved it, but doula work is where my home is. And so I'm really passionate about doing this work. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about who I am and how I doula. So, yeah.
When you became a doula, did you feel that the support from your family and the support from your spouse was there? Or did you feel like you had to build that over time?
Say that again, Bonnie.
I asked, like, when you became a doula, did the support from your spouse and your family, was that immediate? Or did you have to, like, prove to them or even, like, teach them about the work and about how the support is important?
Well, no. I think for my mom and for my husband, they were like, oh, this makes you happy. Let's go for it, right?
Cool.
But for my family, they were like, you leaving your city job with all of your really great benefits to do something that you're not really sure about. And I was like, sounds like a great idea, right? And so now, like, you know, finally, my dad knows not to ask me if I'm off. Like, there is no off. I own my own business. I do my own job, and it is what it is. And so now they're starting to come around, and, like, my dad starts with, like, what exactly do you do again, and how do you do it? And so I told her, and so, like, I think they're starting to acknowledge it, and they really know, like, what I do. And so, yeah, it did take them a while, but it was instant for me. Like, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I want to do. And I do it in a couple of arenas. I do it for Carriage House Birth, where I met the lovely Bonnie, who is really one of my doula sisters. And I was saying previously, even though this is our second time, I have very few doula sisters. I have doula peeps that I, you know, do stuff with. But Bonnie's definitely one of my doula sisters. And so I do this with Carriage House Birth, but I also have my own private practice. And I do a lot of community-based work because it's really important for me to service women that would not normally have access to doula care. Families that would not normally have access to doula care. And so oftentimes they look like me. And then my private clients that don't always have, you know, a lot of clients that look like me. And so it's important to provide that support. And the support looks different, but it's still very significant and important. And I think what allows for me, and I am tooting my own horn because I can do that.
You should. Absolutely. You've attended like 100 births.
Right. Is that I doula across a wide range. So some of my births, which are community-based births, can be very heavy on interventions. Yeah. But some of my, I've had plenty of birth and center births and one home birth. And so I'm super excited to support women over this wide range. And birth looks different for different people. And I'm really passionate about supporting, just supporting women and families and birthing people. Yeah, it's really important to me.
So it's funny because I feel that as doulas, we're like right next to the Grim Reaper. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we're right next to life and death.
Absolutely.
Where we see babies be born mm-hmm. in the most crazy, miraculous ways, but we also see dead babies.
Yeah.
And we sometimes have clients that have a lot of freaking complications that can be close to death as well.
Absolutely.
So what do you feel about that? Can you give me your thoughts on that?
It's, you know, so interesting because everybody thinks that being a doula is this whimsical experience, and it can be. And sometimes it's wonderful, and we wear t-shirts, and we, you know, you go to births in the middle of the night, and you save lives. But sometimes it's really very hard, and you see a lot.
Totally.
There hasn't been something that has totally and completely shocked me, but there have been things that have been scary. And one of the things I always say about doulas is we have to have really good poker faces, right?
Yes.
So you can't like be like, oh my God, right? You have to be like, yeah. So everything is like starting to change a little bit and we want to go ahead and kind of like turn you over. Like, you know, that was, you know, something that was concerning. Let's do it. So we have to be very calm. We have to be very at peace. And so, yeah, for sure. We want to make sure that we are very calm in those situations. But this can be very intense.
You can't freak out.
I have been to births, right? And I'm going to tell your viewers and Instagram, I've been to a birth and held my shit together, right? And then walked out into the waiting area. I went into the bathroom and was like, and literally had to let it loose. Like, I was so freaking afraid.
Yeah.
Like it was so much. And I was just like, oh my God. And so I just went into the bathroom and let go. I have maybe cried once at a birth, like with a family that was a really special family.
Yeah.
And things kind of was crazy. And I actually cried once.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's hard to hold it together sometimes. And sometimes you just need to be like, yeah, I'm going to just take a break. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
And you do that. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've had moments where I'm like freaking out inside and you just have to kind of keep that like brick face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you can't.
Yeah.
You can't change that.
Yeah. No. You
for
have
sure.
to. Yeah. We have to have great poker faces. My mom, if I tell her a story, I'll come back from a birth. She goes, you were calm? I'm like, yes, I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Tia, tell me like how important it is for you to support the community as a doula in the Black and Brown community.
I think it's really important because, you know, some of my clients would not have access to doula support where my private clients can use their flexible spending accounts. They can save money.
Yeah.
They can, you know, even borrow money for a doula. My clients that I service in the community don't have access to doula care and may not even be able to really look up where to find a good doula at. And so it's really important for me to do this kind of work where I'm able to help people, families access, you know, doula support.
Yeah.
And because they're going to hospitals where, you know, they may not be treated the best, you know what I'm saying? And
Absolutely.
I know we talked about, you know, mostly maternity care women are treated really badly.
Yeah.
But like Black and Brown women are dying. Like literally, I'm holding someone's hand and holding space to make sure like they're staying alive. And like, you know, just little things that come up where I'm like, you know, this mom has had a C-section and the medication is starting to wear off. Where's that next dose? Like, you know, I know you have other people here in this triage area, but make sure you pay attention to this mom too. Yeah.
I think it's important, like, even as doulas, you know, this work is the kind of work that racism, bullshit, it does, there's no room for it. You know you know, which is when new doulas are like, how do you get new clients? Like, how do you even get experience? Like, in the beginning, at least for the first year, for sure, a lot of it is a good portion of volunteer work as well. I try to get at least like one client a month that's a volunteer client.
Right.
Because I think that it's important, and this is my personal opinion, that you should be able to, this is the work. This is it. You know, like if a lawyer, I feel like if they get one client a month, that's a pro bono. That's the same thing with doulas. Like we are here literally to support new parents.
Absolutely.
So
sure.
That's one thing. Like, for example, we have a question from Kim and she was like, well, how do I get new work? I'm a new doula. I don't know where to get it. Now, Kim didn't tell us where she's from, but let's assume that she's from New York.
Right.
Right. So that's what I would suggest. Like supporting pro bono is important because not only is it for the Black and Brown community, but there are a lot of like Caucasians that don't have money. Right. And that's a real thing too.
Yeah.
But we have to support everybody.
Yeah. And I think that that's important. Like this work is not about like a t-shirt. It's not about a doula bag. It's about people, right?
Yeah.
And supporting people and supporting, you know, families that need this type of support, whether they pay for it or not. Like, I think that's really important.
Absolutely.
And so for Kim, I would definitely say tap into your community and see who needs doulas. And also like your trainer, if you had a trainer, sometimes trainers are able to pass people along. Join some community groups on Facebook that you can find clients that way.
Yep.
But nobody runs out the gate making thousands of dollars as a doula. Like you run out the gate, you may be able to get your car fare to the birth. You may be able to get like, you know, whatever you spend on food.
Yeah.
But nobody runs out the gate like making a lot of money. But I would definitely say be confident about your skills, because once you're a doula, you are a doula. There are no doulas in training, right? There are only doulas. And so once you have your training and you've done your research and you read your books, you are now a doula. You know more than that person.
Yeah.
And remember that and be confident in that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I totally agree with that. And it's like one of those things, too. It's like, how do you get a backup to go to a birth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then how do you transition from an office job to a doula work? Like Tyler asked us as well through questions. Like, so I was a server before, right? And I was a server for a bartender for a long time. It took me a year and a half being a doula in my first year, a year and a half into it. That's when I left the serving industry to become a full-time doula. So I'm not one of those like doulas that suggest you leave your job to become a doula immediately, because in the beginning you have to like kind of gain the experience,
Absolutely.
But like you have to kind of find a happy medium as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I would say is that, you know, it may take a while, so I wouldn't leave your full-time job to do doula work until you can build a practice. And it takes years. I think sometimes people think that it'll happen in 2 years. And I think we all are a little bit delusional because we're like, we love this so much. You should pay us.
Oh my God.
But you
have
to build that. Right. You have to build that. It just doesn't happen. And so I think it's important to, remember like you can do this work, but it takes time to build. And that's really what's important.
Can I just tell you, like, no bullshit, like, I am on my third year, and I just, like, did this, now I just know the business card that I want it to look.
Right.
My website is now starting
Absolutely.
To look how I want it, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So it takes time, like, it's not going to be, like, immediate.
Absolutely.
I remember when I started, I was, like, imagine me, like, like the baby sister of a large family.
Yeah.
I was, like, what about me? I want it now.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I was, like, Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka being like, I want it now. Like, that's how I was. That's how I envisioned myself, where I was just like, okay, I'm a doula. I want it now. And I tell now what doulas, what I was told in the beginning, even from you, like, just take your time. Things will come. It will build. It comes in time over time.
Yeah.
And like at the time I was just like, but I want it now.
Exactly.
You know, and now I'm like, it just in time. Right. Now I'm seeing like doulas that were like tier one. Now they're like tier two and going on to tier three, like myself. And now they're getting all the experience. And it comes in waves too. Right. That's something that I also learned the hard way, is that doula work comes in waves, yes. Right? And Instagram, and I tell my clients this all the time, and I don't know about you, Tia, I'm sure you do, is that like I tell my clients, everything on Instagram, take it with a grain of salt, because it could be lies.
Right.
They could be living on a throne of lies.
Yes, absolutely. For sure. And I think that it's really important to remember, like, it does come in waves, because, and it also depends upon, I don't know, we need to do like an algorithm about it. Like, what times of the month do you get more clients? This is the beginning of the month, the end of the month? Like, it does come in waves. I think that's a really good point to remember, is that, you know, it just takes some time. Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I also want to talk about, when we were talking about, like, you know, the very broad spectrum, because, you know, everybody has a practice. Everyone has clients that they service. Because I do community-based work, I do run into some situations that are definitely, you know, different than when I have private clients. And even one of my private clients that I did postpartum with her, I don't want to specifically say what happened, but when we were talking about her birth experience, I was just like, what? That happened?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah. And I just like, one of the things I think that's important to remember about doulas is we don't make guarantees.
Yeah.
What we do is provide support. And so you will be heard. You would be acknowledged, and which is really important in your birth. You want to be able to say, this is one of those things that happened. And we were talking about, I think you said the last time, about a client whose water was released without her permission. And I said, one of my tricks that I use is that I do my play dumb. And I learned that from Alice at 100% Doula.
Yes.
Right. And so I'm like, I see them giving my client a vaginal exam, which sometimes happens.
Yep.
And then I'm like, that looks like an amnio hook. I'm thinking in my head, right? And I'm like, what are you going to do today? Nobody said nothing about releasing my client's water.
Sure.
And so then I'm like, oh, hi. So then I'm starting to narrate. It looks like they want to release your water. Huh. Is that what you're going to do? I don't know. Like, you could play dumb. Nobody knows how many births you have.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it kind of doesn't work when you go to the same hospital multiple times. But if you haven't been there in a long time, play dumb. Like, are you going to release her water? Because didn't you say you don't want your water released until 5 or 6 centimeters or maybe 7 centimeters?
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, just doing that and bringing them aware of what's happening, because they're in labor. They're having contractions. Their partner's nervous. They don't know what's going on. But making sure, like, they know what's happening. And one of my clients described me as a supervisor. He said, oh, you're like a store manager, Tia. You see everything going on. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's so true. Thank you. And so that is what I am to. Sometimes I'm a supervisor. What did we say we were? We said security guards, therapists.
Oh, yeah. We're like therapists. We're like psychologists.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, a sister.
Right.
We're like holding hands.
We're besties.
We're besties. I call myself, and this I got from Lindsay, where you're your birth, I'm the birth best friend.
Yes.
We're like, you know, I'm there for you. I'm the person that you're probably going to tell things that you probably wouldn't tell your best friend.
Right, exactly.
So I'm like your birth best friend.
Absolutely.
But like, you know, one thing that I have to say is that when I first saw visually one of my clients' membranes get ruptured, I was like shocked. And after I took that experience, I specifically told my clients from then on of like membranes being ruptured, be aware, they have to get your consent. And
yes.
There was this one of my last births, I guess I must have been on a coffee run, and I specifically asked my clients, I was like, is it okay if I go on a coffee? They're like, absolutely. Of course, I leave the room for like 5 minutes and that's when shit happens, right?
No, because you know, wait, Bonnie. That's the setup. They wait for you to leave.
It's so annoying.
And then they set your clients up. No, that's the setup.
It's so annoying.
It's the setup. They're watching you. And so I think, like, what we need to do, Bonnie, is go and stand in front of, like, go in the lobby and then come right back in and then see what happens. Yeah. Right? Because they really do that. They wait for you to leave because they're like, oh, the doula's not there anymore. Let me then. Anyway, hire a doula, people. I'm telling you now, your doula is there for you. Your doula, your doula is there for you. Like, we know so much shit.
Yeah.
And I could never tell you in all of the prenatals. We can have 19 prenatals, right? We can have 25 prenatals. I could not tell you everything.
Yeah.
But if I come to your birth, I will make sure that I'm there for you. And that's what I could promise you, for sure.
Well, it's funny, like, going back to this particular client, after I've had that experience with the membranes being ruptured without consent, I was more, like, specific about that with other clients. And what ended up happening is, like, so I did a coffee run, came back, and apparently the membranes were ruptured. The husband, I found out much later, this is when I was having the postnatal.
Okay, postpartum,
The postpartum visit, that my birth client told me that her husband was like, wait, are you rupturing her membranes? And the doctor ignored him. So, like, they were aware, and the doctor was ignoring them. So that happened.
I'm saying what? Because I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But I know that they do stuff like that.
They do.
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes. Wow. Okay. Yes.
So let's talk about, like, what happens after we come back from a birth, right? So
yes.
I was saying that, like, when I come back from a birth, I feel like I'm the scent eater sometimes. And what happens is, like, I come home, I'm, like, hyped up, super tired. I feel super gross because, no joke, I know you don't do this, but, like, sometimes sleep on the floor.
Okay.
And I put a sheet down.
Okay.
I put a sheet down. I'll wrap my jacket in a little pillow, and I'll sleep next to my client's bed sometimes.
Right, yeah.
And sometimes I'll get eyeballs from the nurses.
Right.
I don't care.
Oh, I have a mat. No, I got to give you the Amazon link. Like, they have a mat. I think I paid. That was the best money I ever spent.
Okay.
You could blow it up in 10 breaths.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, blow it up in 10 breaths.
Right? I'll get
that. It's so
link
tiny.
Later. Yeah.
Put it in your bag, right? And I know you don't care. You carry a lot less than I carry.
Oh, yeah. My bag is like this.
I know your bag is like,
yours is so tiny.
So tiny. But that mat saved my whole life. And take that mat and whatever else you have in your bag, and that's it.
Okay.
Like, for sure.
Perfect.
But that mat is amazing.
Okay.
Because I have had to sleep on the floor plenty of times.
Yeah.
And it's really helpful. So,
That would be super helpful. So I like, you know, I come home, I take off my clothes, I take a shower from head to toe.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll either have a glass of wine, not always, but I most likely will smoke a joint.
Right.
Just to kind of, like, decompress, because I feel that, like, we take a lot of emotions home.
Yeah, we
you
do.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, you can be from, like, a 7-hour birth to, like, a 3 to 5 day birth.
Yes.
And you don't know, because being a doula is such a gamble.
Yeah.
Where this is like a gambler's addict's dream, I feel
right.
like.
Yeah.
I don't know when the birth's gonna be.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like the more experience that we doulas get, the more, like, we're able to kind of, like, I have an idea that this baby is gonna be born around X amount of time. And, like, out of 10 births, I get 9 right. I've been kind of good.
Yeah.
I really follow my intuition.
Right. But that's good. I don't never get them right. I don't know. I think, like, I recently said one time, I said, the baby's coming by 10. And the baby came at 10:03. I was very excited about that. Because I never make promises. But I wanted to go back to my ritual. Same thing, I have a ritual. Like, once I come from a birth.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I need to talk about the birth, I can do that.
Sure.
And I've been known to be talking to you on the phone on my way home.
Yes.
Talking to my mentor, Tanisha. I have a few mentors, but talking to Tanisha or even maybe Sam from Carriage House Birth.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes my birth is just very quiet because there's a lot that I'm experiencing and I'm going through. And I don't know if I said this time or last time, but I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating. Like, I've had births where I held space for someone and literally had to step out the room to go cry because it was really, really hard. And I was just really rough. And so, it was just very, very challenging sometimes to deal with those emotions. And so I do the same thing. I take a shower from head to toe, burn my clothes in my mind. I don't actually burn my clothing, but in my mind, I burn them. Like, they are, like, burnt to a crisp because the hospital is, you know, people are like, oh, hospitals are clean. Hospitals are clean when you go visit someone for 2 hours.
Ugh.
But imagine being in a hospital for 17 hours. The hospital is dirty as shit.
I tell people that I tell people that I'm immune to every disease possible because I've slept on hospital floors.
Yeah.
So like if there was a disease out there, I'm pretty sure I'm immune to it.
You're immune to it, yeah. And the thing about me is like I'm like I have just recently discovered elderberry. I don't know if you know about elderberry.
No. But elderberry syrup.
Yeah. But they have the gummies. So me and my son, we do elderberry gummies every day. And when I don't have my elderberry gummies and I go to a birth, I come home sick. Always. I come home with a cold. Yes. Because, like, I am one of those people that needs sleep, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can do a really long bout. But after a while, my body's like, oh, really? You think you're going to stay up all night and not get sick? And my body's like, yes, Tia, you're getting sick. And so, therefore, I have to go ahead and make sure that I take my elderberry gummies and stuff like that. And so, it's been really helpful with keeping me from being sick. Between having a four-year-old that goes to preschool and going to the hospital with all the germs, like, I'm bound to get sick. So, yeah.
So, Tia, I want to talk about a question that I got from Tyler. Her name is Tyler. Sorry, Tyler. And one of her questions was, we answered before regarding transitioning from office job to a doula job. I told you my experience as a server. Tia told her experience as a social worker.
Case manager.
Yeah. Sorry, I apologize. Case manager transitioning into doula work. And another question that she had was about mother blessings and how that's being kind of like taken by white culture and being appropriated and how to do a mother blessing. Because a mother blessing can be very special to new mothers instead of doing like a baby shower. Mm-hmm. They do like this beautiful ritual. It can be very special to a lot of new moms. But what's happening is that they're appropriating Navajo cultures into white culture and making it cute and pretty and putting it in a little box with a bow with a bunch of flowers. My personal opinion about that. Sorry, I live near the highway. So my personal opinion about that is that I think that if you have clients that are specifically searching you out to do mother blessings, research that client's lineage in their background. Because I think that if you're going to do a mother blessing, you should do it surrounding their culture, their background, and their and their life, right? I think, for example, like me, I'm Brazilian, so I would do it with like my candomblé, my Brazilian background. I think that that's more appropriate than doing it from like a Navajo perspective. Yeah. Like I'm not Native American. I might have some Native American from Brazil in me, but I don't know. I haven't done ancestry.com yet. Sponsor me. But I think that it's important to know that because, you know, what's happening now is that a lot of millennials are just taking different things from different cultures and appropriating it for them, right? And it looks cute. The Instagram pictures are adorbs, but it's disrespectful. And that's just plain simple what it is. It's just super disrespectful. And we need to start calling people out on their disrespect.
And so one of the things that what I will say is that it's very easy to take from a culture. It's much, much harder to honor it, right?
Yes.
And so if we're honoring something, we don't want to take it. We don't want to put a bow on it. We don't want to sell it, right? We want to honor it. And so oftentimes my clients have traditions that they celebrate. And so I think what you said is really key is, okay, well, here in this culture, like one of my clients that I had who I believe, and please don't be mad if I say this wrong, but I think she was from Trinidad. And so on the seventh day, she gets showered from head to toe by an elder in her family. And that was really important for her to participate in this tradition. And I think like drawing from people's heritage and their background and cultivating it into something that looks good for them is important. And I get it because sometimes, you know, and for me, like being African American, I'm always like when people go, oh, I'm going to go to visit Trinidad or I'm going to Brazil. And I'm like, where do I go? Right.
Yeah.
And so I get that it's easy to do that. But I think what's important is trying to honor people's traditions and being able to like say, OK, well, what do you do to celebrate in your family? How do you do that? And then gearing it towards them, I think it's really very helpful. yeah.
I think that's absolutely super important.
Yeah,
that's,
I think so. That's really good. For sure.
Tia, can you tell people your handles and how to find you?
Absolutely. I am Me Too Doula everywhere. And I want to say why I'm Me Too Doula.
Please do.
Oftentimes people like, the movement? I'm like, I was Me Too Doula before the movement, which is fine. Okay. Because there needs to be a movement in regards to that.
Yes.
But I'm Me Too Doula because I've been all of my clients. I support clients that are trying to conceive, those that are pregnant and birthing, and then postpartum families. And my handle, but my tagline is, I know where you are because I've been there too. And so I'm Me Too Doula on Instagram. Find me there. Me Too Doula on Facebook. MeTooDoula@gmail.com. And my website is www.MeTooDoula.com. And you can find me all of those places. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have one question before we bid adieu to everybody is, what is the one advice? And you gave so many advices, so many beautiful opinions, and mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for you to be here. But one advice, if you could give just one advice to a new doula, what would it be?
Believe in yourself. That is the key thing. I think sometimes as a new doula, not sometimes, I know it to be the case, whether you've given birth or not, you feel very inadequate to support someone. But as my mentor, Tanisha, always says, you know more than they know, right? And so that means that you can hold space for them, right? And so when we think about like some of the research that has been done, there were doulas that just sat in a room and didn't say a word and held space for people. And that was that made a significant difference in their birthing experiences. So realize you are capable, you are able to support this person, whether it's your first person or it's your 100th person. And I know that's hard to see in the beginning, but really what I will say is so important is to believe in yourself.
I love that so much.
Absolutely.
Tia, thank you so much for coming.
I am so happy. Bonnie, thank you so much for having me. It's been so great to be here. And I look forward to our next chat because I know this will happen again.
It will happen again multiple times.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
Oh my God. Now we're going to go to IKEA. All right. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Bye.